My name is Brian Kinsey, and I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola. I'm delighted that you're listening to this message, and I hope it blesses your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you're interested in a personal Bible study, you can call us at 850-477-1100, or send us an email at firstpent@firstpent.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
Would you mind doing that for the Lord with all of your might for just a moment? Surely the presence of the Lord is in this house, and where Jesus is, anything is possible. I don't care what the doctor told you. I don't care what the prognosis is or the diagnosis. There is nothing in your body that is greater than Jesus. It does not exist. With that in mind, clap again and just rejoice in that kind of knowledge. In my Bible, if you were to leaf through it, there are certain verses of Scripture that are initialed. And those initials are TP. That means tried and proven. These two verses I'm about to read here, I probably have preached from more than any other in the entire Bible. They're found in the last chapter of the Gospel of Mark. In chapter 16, beginning at verse 17, Jesus is speaking here, and he says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe." Say, "That's me." Say, "I am a believer." "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils." Say, "I have that power." "They shall speak with new tongues." I think you should every day. It's just nice to know that he is around. "They shall take up serpents." That means accidentally. No doubt about that. "And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them." Ladies and gentlemen, people here tonight, do you understand what an incredible insurance policy we are covered with as believers? Astounding, astounding. "If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They, believers, shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Say, "That power is in me." Then the last verse, verse 20, says, "And they went forth and preached everywhere, working for the Lord." That's not what it says. It says, "The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." I want to entitle this tonight with a question. Do you know who you really are? Would you let your voice out and lift your hands again and just pray and worship that God will do with you here tonight and us as a conglomerate exactly what he wants to do? There's no one here but us and Jesus, so just let your voice out. Lord Jesus, tonight, by the authority of the Word of God, by the power of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have entered this city, entered this area, entered this church, entered among these people, each other in the matchless, all-powerful powerful, resplendent name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, O Master of the universe, lift us into a realm of revelation, understanding that will change us and catapult us out into a demonstration that we've never lived in or done before. I give you praise for anointing. Anoint us to hear, to speak. God, open our minds and hearts. Take away weariness from the day. Lift us, O God, the strength of God to be upon us. Help us to feel the brush of angels' wings, the touch of the Master's hand, the sound of his voice. We give you praise, glory, and honor. We ask these things in the matchless, powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone shouted, amen. You may go down clapping. You are the most powerful people on the planet of the earth. There is no one more powerful in this world than an apostolic believer. They don't exist. There is no ism or schism out there that is greater than what is inside of us here as believers in this congregation here tonight. It doesn't exist. Jesus is the greatest force in the entire universe. Devils tremble at the mention of his name. Diseases depart. People are set free. Sins are forgiven. Lives are changed. Minds are healed because of this man called Jesus. The Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe. The Lord working with them. When you are in that audience where you are right there tonight, and you suddenly feel to walk across the aisle and lay hands on someone and pray for them, you should. What are you waiting for? Because you're not going alone. He works with you. If you begin to do it, he joins you to get the job done. We don't need to be praying for people to be healed. We need to command they be healed in the name of Jesus, because we've got that power inside of us. I have begun not to pray for people to be healed, but to command them to be healed. The apostle said, such as I have, give I unto thee. Such as we have, give I unto you. Such as I have, you have it. If you are an apostolic believer, you have these signs alive inside of you. And there is no devil in hell, no combination of devils or other religions that can shatter that, diminish it, or take it away. Because greater, 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 greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. That's shouting material. That's shouting material. That's shouting material. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached in Acts 2, 38, 39, etc., 3,000 people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they were baptized in Jesus' name. Think about this. How can 12 disciples baptize 3,000 people in one day? They couldn't. Who did it? Those that had just been baptized began to help baptize. I wanted to warn you something here tonight. The United Pentecostal Church is headed for the greatest shaking it's ever had, because God is sick and tired of the games, the nonsense, and all the foolishness and the politics. He wants somebody to step out and begin to do it the way it's supposed to be done. And I feel like you're in a place right here where you can volunteer to get involved in this kind of activity. That's the only reason I'm here this year, because I believe in you. I believe in this ministry. You've got a hold of something here. I've been coming here for 30 years. We've seen miracles, signs, and wonders. Through 30 years, we've seen people get the Holy Ghost. It's a new day, people. It's a new day. And I can promise you, we are headed for the biggest shakeup we have ever been through. We've got to get beyond our simple traditions. We've got to get beyond that into an apostolic flow, apostolic presentation, apostolic preaching, apostolic demonstration. If you're a real apostolic believer, you need to do more than just come and warm that pew. You need to get your hands on people. You need to get to praying for people. You need to get out there and bring people to the church house. You need to do something with your life. God didn't save you to become a wallflower on the wall or to become some symbol sitting up here demonstrating. That's not why he saved you. That's not what he saved me. He saved us to save others. He saved you to reach others. He saved me to reach others. You don't sound very excited about that, but you ought to be, because you've got the power to do it. You've got the power to do it. You've got the power to do it. You can tell kings how to live for eternity. You can tell queens how to live for eternity. You can tell ambassadors how to live for eternity. Presidents, leaders, people, poor, rich, beggars, the wealthy. What fool would not want to live for eternity? Ponce de Leon, look, search for a fountain of youth, trying to find out how to live for eternity. Others have had their bodies frozen against the day that they'll be able to resurrect them. Let me tell you here right now how to live for eternity. It's a 1-2-3-step plan. Repent, get baptized in Jesus' name, receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speak in tongues, and you're on your way. So what I'm saying, believer, preach it. You say, well, Brother Strunke, I'm not really all that bold. I'm a little bit shy. If someone bang into your new car, we'll find out how shy you are. People who are not emotional, scientifically, medically, they say they're dead. Everything that's alive has some kind of emotion. I've watched people for 55 years now. I've had the Holy Ghost. October 6th, it'll be 56 years. It's just amazing to me to watch people. It really is. It can also be very discouraging, really. But there are some people that come to church, and they don't do anything. I would think, look at the effort you made to make yourself as presentable as you look right now. Why not get something out of it? I mean, really, really. You could at least tap your foot. God is trying desperately. Something is passing to the younger generation. There is a mantle that is being passed to the younger generation. Because this younger generation is tired of the politics and all of the nonsense and the games. What these kids are deciding, and the youth congresses in the last few years have proven that, they've decided we're going to have the real thing or nothing at all. I made that my goal 55 years ago. I belonged to the Baptist Church as a child, the Evangelical Free Church in my late teen years, Billy Graham, Crusade follower, and all the rest of it. But when I found this, I made up my mind, I will get everything out of this that I possibly can. I'm going to preach it. I'm going to tell it, because people, this is that. Another that is not coming. This is that. You can come from anything to this, but you cannot go from this to anything else. There's nothing else to go to. So you're caught in a trap. You might as well explore everything there is to explore about this. You need to try it out. Just try it out. You may be seated. I prayed for someone for healing about a year ago. It's been now. And some preacher walked up to me at the end of the altar service and said, well, Brother Stone King, you prayed for them. They weren't healed. Why not? I said, I don't know why not. I'm not God. He just said to lay hands on them, and that's what I do. I lay hands on them and pray. I'm not the healer. He said to lay hands on them, and he would do it. If he doesn't do it, I don't know why. You know what our problem is? We major on the minuses. Why don't we major and dance and shout over the pluses, what he did do? Forget what he didn't do. Maybe he'll do it the next service. So let's dance and shout about the positive things that God has already done. I mean, you people have seen miracles here. Some of you should have been dead a long time ago, including me. But we're still here because this Jesus is a resurrection power. Because he's alive. The cross is empty. The tomb is empty. But our lives are filled with the power and the resurrection of a living Christ. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Shout the name of Jesus for just a moment. You can feel the air tremble. You can feel the air tremble. Stan Gleason, his father was one of my professors in Bible college, and I've known Stan since he was a little kid. But he has got a church in Kansas City, Missouri, and it's an apostolic church. He's doing something that I had never seen done before, although I had thought about it. I was there, and there was a young woman, a beautiful young woman in his church, and she had won a family to God. They all got the Holy Ghost. But on a Sunday morning, he announced a baptismal service, and this young apostolic believer girl baptized all of her converts in Jesus' name while we watched. That's the shakeup that's coming right there. It's already here, people. Those people came out of the water speaking with tongues. I stood there and cried. I had never, ever seen anything like it. Because if we can get you involved, really get you involved, you will never be the same again. You will not be able to just stumble through this. You'll be so excited. I've said it before. I'm sure about coming here. This is the most exciting thing you do all week long. Coming to church is the most exciting thing you do all week long. It's not the football game. It's not the basketball game. It's not the politics. It's not the sales at Macy's department store. This is the most exciting thing that we do all week long. Because when we come through those doors, we are about to meet Jesus. Someone's going to be healed. Someone's going to be delivered. Someone's going to be set free. This is the most exciting thing in the entire world. The Bible says, they shall take up serpents. Billy Cole, probably one of the most outstanding men of God I've ever met. When Billy did his thing for Jesus, there was no one like him. He saw over 1 million people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost in his lifetime. There's no one in the Bible that saw anything like that, that I know anything about. Shirley Cole, his wife, was a prophetess. She was absolutely powerful in the Spirit. Billy told me that in Thailand, he said, Lee, he said, we always had a sort of a banquet feast one night for the Thai believers because they were very poor. He'd have a bowl of rice about this big around, about this deep, and maybe one chicken thigh chopped in little tiny pieces. That's all they could afford to put into the rice. So Billy and Shirley would get funds from people here at home that would send money to them to give them money to prepare these meals once a year or twice a year for the people, especially some of the leaders they had trained there. He said, but on one of these occasions, this was late in the afternoon, and they had these tables all set up for the people, the Thai people to come and the leaders to come and be served this banquet food that they had prepared. But they had to string up lights, of course, so when it got dark, they'd have lights to see and to fellowship. And Shirley was putting the wires together. And she walked over here. There was a board fence all along the back area here. And she had to reach through a hole in that fence to pick up the plug on the other side to connect it so that they'd have lights and electric power. When she reached through that hole in the fence, there was a cobra lying there. And she didn't know it. And it struck her wrist. The fangs went right in. She pulled her hand back, and she sort of cried out. And Billy said the man went running. He said, I went myself behind that fence. He said, Lee, I was shaking so badly that I couldn't even pick up a log or anything to kill the snake. I was just shaking. The Thai brethren came and they killed it. He said, because I know what's involved with cobra bites. In the United States military, they teach our soldiers that if they're in a country where there are cobras and they get struck with a cobra, in 30 seconds, they're in convulsions, and in 3 minutes, they're dead. That's how serious the venom is. Shirley never stopped waiting and serving on those tables and preparing. That wrist never swelled. There was never anything that happened. I'm not talking about something 2,000 years ago happening. It's happening now in my lifetime, in our day. We're headed for the greatest demonstrations of the Spirit of God the world has ever known or ever seen. And I'm here to tell you tonight, you're not going to win Buddhists and Muslims with religion. They've got more religion than we've ever thought about having. What they don't have is the demonstration of the Spirit of God in power. We have got to let them see the demonstration and the power of Almighty God that comes through the hands of believers. I've been in services where there were Muslims and they never shed a tear. But at the end, there was a Pakistani Muslim that came to an altar. It was in Brother David Bernard's church several years ago. I didn't know he was a Muslim because he wasn't dressed in the garb. But he was a Pakistani Muslim, and they're some of the most violent in the entire world. He was sobbing at the altar, and I kept praying with him. And Brother Bernard was on this side. He was praying with him. When he finally stopped praying, this is what he said. He looked at me. He said, I have prayed to Allah all of my life and never felt God once. But in this place, I feel God. People, that's who we are. That's what we have a hold of. That's worth shouting about. That's worth rejoicing about. That's worth dancing about. And all of the things that we do. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. I remember when I first came into this 50-some years ago now, I remember a story that was told. I think it was from South America. One of our missionaries was invited to some meal by the natives, and they had poisoned the food. They had really poisoned it. And when the missionary ate it, he didn't drop over dead. And they couldn't believe it. They absolutely couldn't believe it. But when he explained the power of Jesus, revival broke out among them, and they began to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they were baptized in Jesus' name. Years ago, I was in upstate New York in the summertime when I first went to upstate New York after Bible college, and it was way back then in the early 70s, somewhere there, and it was hot, no air conditioning, it was just a home missionary work and all of that, and I was preaching away, and they had a glass here in the pulpit, and it was an opaque glass, you couldn't see through it, and I just assumed it was water they had put in there for me to drink because I was speaking. If I needed, I could use it. And I was just preaching away, and all of a sudden, in the middle of my preaching, I was reaching in and grabbed that glass and just turned it up and swallowed about half of it. And it was not fresh water. It was filled with slime. I never stopped preaching. I just kept right on going. And I never got sick. There was no nausea. There was nothing. I can tell you, if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. What's inside of you is greater than the deadly. It's greater than the deadly. It's greater. And that greater has a name. His name is Jesus. They shall receive the Holy Ghost. Healings. Believers, you can lay hands as a believer. You can lay hands on people and they'll be healed. They'll be healed. They will be healed. The Bible says, pray one for another that they may be healed. It's in James. I have people everywhere just lay hands on each other in the service and pray for each other. The Bible says lay hands on each other and pray that you may be healed. Healed of what? Healed of anything, everything, all things. You have no idea what's inside of you. If you just reach over and lay hands on somebody and pray for them, you may not know what's going on, but I'm telling you, there can be something disappear just instantaneously from their body. I have a hold of the gift of faith. I've had it for years. I operate in the gift of faith all the time. But I remember walking into one service, and I got there a few late. The plane was a few minutes late. The plane was late and all that business. And so I walked down that center aisle. As I walked by down the aisle, there was someone right in front of me with a dark suit on. And I don't know why, I just felt as I walked by him, and I'm on my way to the platform, I just reached over and just put my hand on his back and said, in Jesus' name, and walked on. I don't know why, I just did what I felt. Do what you feel. Don't try to analyze it. You'll miss it. When the water is troubled, you better get in while the water is troubled. Because when it settles down, it's not going to work. I went onto the platform. What I didn't know was he had a chronic back disorder that they could not help him with. And nothing could be done for. He was healed instantaneously when this hand touched his back. That's the kind of power that's inside of me as a believer. But then you've got what I've got. You've got the same thing that I've got. The difference is what we have done with it. I'm going to demonstrate it. I'm going to try it out. I'm going to work with this. He was just miraculously healed. As a believer, you can cast out devils. You can pray people through. We could take any one of you here today as an apostolic believer, even young people, take you into the jungles of South America, Africa, somewhere, parachute you out, take you in, whatever. You could preach Acts 2:38 to the natives, and they can repent. They could be baptized by you, and it would stick. They will receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's who you are as a believer. That's what you have a hold of. That's what you should be doing. There are some believers that have lived and died. They had the Holy Ghost 50, 55 years. And never won one soul in 55 years. I challenge you here tonight. I challenge you this year. Fast, pray, and ask Jesus to help you to win just one soul this year. If every one of you won just one soul this year, your church would double in a year. It would double. And you can do it, because soul winning is the heartbeat of God. If you're a soul winner, he will fight for you. He'll go with you. He'll help you to reach them. He'll give you the words to say. His anointing will flow through you. There are preachers among us who have preached 50, 55 years, retired, and never produced one preacher in 55 years. That's a tragedy. I get a hold of young people all the time, or adults, anybody I can get a hold of, and say, look, you can do what I'm doing. I'm no better than you are. If God will do it with me, he'll do it with you. Take anything you can get from me and go out and use it. And don't mention my name. You've just shot yourself in both feet. They don't need to know where you got it. Come on, ladies and gentlemen. You're not going to hear somebody step in that pulpit that'll say something that no one's heard in 6,000 years. It's not going to happen. We've all got it from somebody. So just go do it. Just go take anything you can get from me and go work it and use it and just get involved. Because if I can do it, you can do it. If we all get to doing the same thing, you know what? This church could become a terror to this entire city. This church could become a terror to this entire area. God has got to have a place that he can channel himself through. But angels aren't going to preach it. He's not coming back to do it. We are the generation upon whom the ends of the world have come. It's a tremendous load, but he will not go alone without us. He will go with us. He will go with you. We will not go alone without him. People, this is our day. This is our hour. This is the greatest hour the church has ever lived in. I did tell one young man recently, though, I did tell him this. I said, look, boy, you get to going and I get older and older, and you get very famous and wealthy. If I walk by, speak to me. Don't act like you don't know who I am. And send me an offering. If all these kids send me an offering, I'm going to be in good shape. But it's not about that either. It's just about let's go do it together. Let's see this together. People, I want to see it. I want to touch it. I want to be involved with it. How many people right here is the Holy Ghost talking to right now? If God is talking to you in any way, lift your hands and let your voice out and just respond. Even if you just speak with tongues, let the Holy Ghost just speak through you. The Spirit knoweth how to pray. In 2004, I went to one of our general conferences, and I was praying with someone at the altar to receive the Holy Ghost, and someone was helping me pray. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of my praying, right down front, there's some woman just came running to me and grabbed me. She said, oh, Brother Strong King, come quickly. This woman over here is filled with the devil. She's possessed of the devil. Come and cast it out. I said, no. You go. You're a believer. These signs shall follow them that believe. And I quoted. She looked at me and stared, and she ran, and she grabbed a hold of that woman I watched. She grabbed a hold of her and said, in Jesus' name, and the Holy Ghost hit that woman. She fell out on the floor and came out of her speaking with tongues. Not because I did it, because a believer did it. You ought to be shouting, I've got that power. I've got that power. I've got that power. That power has got us. Most of the miracles of healing that are happening now in my meetings are not because I call people out, not because I have healing lines, not because they come forward and I anoint and pray for it. It's not happening that way. I just have people stand that need a miracle of healing, and they stand. And then I have the believers in the audience gather around those people who need healing, and believers are praying for them, and people are being healed by the dozens, sometimes the hundreds in fast meetings where I'm at. It's not because I'm calling them out and doing all the things we traditionally do. It's because we've got to get to mass evangelism. We've got to get beyond where we are. I believe that this church is a city of refuge. Anyone can come here and be saved. If they can't be saved here, put a line through their name, forget them. Anybody that really wants to do what's right, they can come here and be saved. God has put you in a city of refuge. You're in a place where there's no telling what's about to happen. People, that's why I keep saying it's time for the dancing, it's time for the shouting, it's time for the clapping, it's time for the running. It's just time to worship God like we've never worshiped him before, because for such a time as this, we are here. There were men at the turn of the last century, the early 1900s, that were mightily used by God. And I remember hearing about them, reading about some of them. But for some reason, they never mentored anyone. They never imparted to anyone else what they had a hold of. Maybe they wanted to be just unique in their day. I didn't want any kind of competition. Maybe they didn't see the need to mentor anyone. For whatever reason, they did not mentor anyone. And when they died, what they had hold of died with them. I don't want that to happen to me. That's why I gave the lecture and give the lecture to young people. Take what you can get from me. Do what has to be done. Just do it in Jesus' name. The Shatwell is an armor bearer. At this point in my life, it's really good to have someone to travel with because there are so many things going on out there. The whole world is sort of just disheveled and people are doing crazy things. So it's Jesus sent them up by twos. That's too spiritual for us. We don't get that, things like that. It's too biblical. But he sent them out by twos because there's a protection in it. So Jonathan and I have had some unusual experiences in traveling. And there's one restaurant we eat in my area. It's called, it's an Italian steakhouse is what it is. And it has good food. So we were there one night and the host, his name is Chris, he came back to the booth where we all usually sit, and he just began to talk with us. And I said, "Chris, how are you doing?" He said, "I've got real trouble with my arm." He said, "I'm having a bad time with my arm." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yes. Now, we're in a restaurant with people sitting around here. Okay?" I said, "Chris, give me your hand." He did. Jonathan's here. I'm here. Chris is here. I took hold of his hand. I said, "I'm going to pray for it." I didn't ask if I could, if it'd be nice or whatever. I just prayed. And I prayed. And I felt God. Well, I'm quite sure that most customers don't give those kinds of tips, you know. And so he walked on. Well, we went back a couple weeks later, whatever, we'd been traveling in between. We walked in and he was at the entrance, the desk there. And I looked at him and he said, "It works." I'm here to tell you tonight, it works. It works. It works. The name of Jesus works. This is one of the greatest things. I may have told this to you before, but I just love it. Years ago, I was in Memphis, Tennessee. They had a singles conference going on there at that time. And there was about 1,500 people that year in the singles conference. Well, there was quite a move of God in the service one night, and we all went out after church to eat, which is a Pentecostal apostolic tradition. Well, there were about six of these women that were just all fired up. The faith had been so high. People had gotten out of wheelchairs. It was amazing. And there, they went to Cracker Barrel because it's one of the restaurants that stays open later at night. So here they are at Cracker Barrel. They're in a round table over here in the corner. And they're, you know, still just alive with the Holy Ghost. And the waitress comes over, and she did look sort of sad. And one of the women said to her, "Are you all right?" And the girl said, "No." And she started crying. So the women said, "We'll pray for you." And they got to praying for her, and that girl received the baptism of the Holy Ghost standing right beside their table at Cracker Barrel with people all around. Why not? Why not? Why not? The manager of Cracker Barrel came running and said, "What is this?" They said, "We'll show you." They grabbed her and prayed her through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That night at Cracker Barrel, 11 people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with tongues. People, this is who we are. This is the type of thing we should be doing. It will tear. Why don't you get with it? Why don't you decide, devil, we're going to rearrange your borders for you. We're going to back you out. We're going to back you off. I think it was in 2006, I preached the Apostolic Conference in Madison, Mississippi for Jerry Dillon. In that conference, there was a couple visiting there from Oregon. and it was Brother and Sister Van Dievender. And faith was so high. There were miracles of healing that happened in that place that night. Brother and Sister Van Dievender came up to me right in front of the pulpit. I was right in this area. And they said, Brother Stone King, we've got a son, Joshua. He's had an industrial accident, and he now is basically paralyzed from his waist down. He's 87% fully disabled, 2 discs, there's no fluid, and 1 disc is bulging out of his back. Could we stand in for him? And would you pray for us as if it was him? I said, of course. So I laid my hands, took hold of each of their hands, and began to pray right there in front of that pulpit. What I didn't know was Josh was watching it online in his home in Oregon. When he saw his parents standing there, me praying for them, he felt a warmth come into his legs, and he knew it was God. He took his hands and took a hold of the wheelchair and pulled himself up. He was not able to stand because if he closed his eyes to raise his hands and worship, he would pass out and fall over. He was in bad shape. But he stood and he raised his hands and began to worship God. And when he did, he realized he wasn't falling. He started walking like this. He started walking in his own living room. I've got this on film. He walked, and then he turned around. He ran to the kitchen door, ran out into the driveway, and ran up and down the driveway, totally healed, because we're believers. Clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. And he's still healed. I just talked to him about a week ago. Now he's pastoring the church his mom and dad had. I tell you, people, if we can just get this Jesus out of the ink and the paper of the Bible, it will change everything. It will change everything. I am a believer. You ought every morning when you get up and put your feet on the floor, you ought to greet the world by saying, I am a believer. These signs follow me. I feel like if you will clap one more time and shout to the Lord, an anointing of authority fall upon you now. Receive it, receive it, receive it, such as I have in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Whatever you feel like doing right now, I just command you to do it. Whatever you feel like doing. Don't hold back. Ha ha shatatoke shatateke. Undotara varaka shataka shataka. That's it, that's it, that's it. Potohataka shatatara varaka. Barahatake shotoke. Undotara varaka. Undoho deho shataya varaka. If you are here tonight, a young person, an adult, and you want to get a hold of what I'm talking about like you've never had it before, I want you to come and stand at this altar and just shout with your voice to the Lord. And when you do that, that thing that you're desiring will come upon you. It will come upon you, no matter your age, no matter your age. Every pastor, I command every pastor, every preacher here to be anointed as they've never been anointed before, with the demonstration of the Spirit of God and power, such as I have. In the name of Jesus, receive it. Receive it. That's it. Just let your voice out. Again, there's no one here but us and Jesus. There's no one else here but us and Jesus. That's it. That's it. Men, women, there's anointing falling upon you. There are flames of fire above some of your heads in this audience. Right now. Right now. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. There's an authority and anointing right here. That's it. Never to be the same. I command you never to be the same. Never to be the same. Her son has just been healed in the name of Jesus. If you are a believer here tonight, if you're a believer here tonight, everybody get a hold of somebody. Everybody get a hold of somebody, because there's an anointing on you. There's an anointing on you. There's the working of miracles is among you as believers here in this place tonight. That's it. One more thing, and I'm all done. Whenever you go to some kind of a performance, you always give them a round of applause. I think Jesus has just sort of given us quite a performance tonight. So would you just clap for him and shout his name, Jesus. We worship you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. One more time, clap your hands, all ye people, and just shout unto the Lord with a voice of thanksgiving.
We hope you enjoyed this message. Please reach out to us if you have any questions. We can be found at firstpent.org. That's firstpent.org. If you're ever in Pensacola, Florida, we hope you visit us. Be blessed in Jesus' name.